Appreciate that. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. We're going to find our text this morning, Luke chapter 2. It's one of my favorite instruments, Brother Carl. Love it. He and Sister Valerie were going to sing a special today, but she's not feeling well. One of those on the list that aren't feeling well today, so keep her in your prayers. Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to find our text, and we're going to talk about the fact, the truth, the great reality that Christ has been born. And we're going to talk about what that means and what it means. The word Christ itself means anointed one. It's the New Testament. The word Christ is not, you know, growing up, I thought Christ was Jesus' last name. I don't know if anybody else thought that too, but that's what I thought. It's Jesus Christ, just like I was Isaac Slape, so I just thought that it was his last name. As it turns out, it's not his last name at all. It's his title. He is Jesus the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ. It's his title. It's who he is. And it's the word Christ is the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament Messiah, and it means anointed one. And that's what it literally means. So Jesus the anointed one. One who was anointed, and we see in the Old Testament, anointing wasn't just for kings, because there were people who were anointed as king. Can anybody think of a couple of men who were anointed as king in Israel? David would be one. Saul would be one. Solomon, okay? But there were also men who were prophets who were anointed. So it was for kings, it was for prophets, and also priests were anointed in the Old Testament, all of those things foreshadowing one who would come, who would be prophet and priest and king. And that's who we're here to worship today. I want to invite you to stand if you're physically able. If you're not, just stay right where you're at. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass in those days, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather and worship you. We do pray for our brothers and sisters who can't be here today. We pray you'll heal the sick, comfort the brokenhearted, encourage the hearts of those who are discouraged. Lord, just give them grace today. Thank you that Christ has been born, that he lived, that he died for our sins, that he rose again the third day, and he is coming again. Thank you for this time of year we've had set aside to celebrate our Savior's birth. And I pray that in the holiday, in the festivities, in the traveling, in the things that we have going on, that we will never lose sight of Jesus, that Christ will be magnified in our hearts, in our minds, in our homes, and in your church. Please help me now to preach your word by the power of your Spirit, Lord. I pray you'll speak to our hearts, that we can see Jesus, that we can know you more, and that we'll be encouraged and equipped to go and make you known. Help us to be real disciples who continue in your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. We can go to the Old Testament. I mentioned that there were people who were anointed in so many different ways. We think about those prophets like Elijah and Elisha. You think about Samuel, Isaiah, different ones who were anointed. They were anointed by God, either directly or through the hands of another prophet. They were set aside for a specific task that God had for them. We think about the priests who were anointed in their time, like Aaron or Aaron's sons, Eleazar, Ithamar, Nadab, Abihu. We think about Phinehas and different ones who were anointed for that role. And then we think about kings. We think about those who were anointed by God for that specific purpose being a king and ruler over Israel. So we can look at this passage that we're going to look at today, and you're going to see some things about the lineage of Jesus, that Jesus was born of the house and lineage of David, and that's really important for Bible prophecy, that he had to be of the lineage of David, and he was. He was by the legal right of Joseph, his earthly father, who was not his biological father. Somebody say amen. Joseph was legally his father, and he was of the lineage of David. And we also see it through his birth, through his bloodline, through Mary. Mary was also of the house and lineage of David. And so Jesus was a fulfillment of that. You see his lineage. You also see the legacy of Jesus. Prophecies fulfilled, the purpose for which he came, and the power that he had. But I really this morning hope that you'll see how personal the birth of Christ ought to be to each one of us. That it's not just that Christ came into the world to save sinners, but he came into the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. That it's personal for every one of us. That by faith, we are trusting in Jesus, our Messiah. There's a song that I love, Christmas song. It's just a few years old. Sky Peterson sings. It's called Messiah, You Have Come. And it says, I'll never understand how the king who holds the cosmos was held by teenage hands. The one who holds all things together by the word of his power was held by a virgin young girl, a teenage girl. Is that not mind-blowing to you? How God chose to do what God did? That song goes on to say, all glory to his name. The manger held a baby that the grave could not contain. Man, what a savior. Because Christ was born to die. He would go to the grave, but he would not stay there. And I hope that you understand that that's personal, that it ought to be real to each one of us. So we see that Jesus was born. They had to leave Nazareth because of this taxing or census, if you will, and they had to go to the place of their birth. So they had to go, and God timed it out using unbelieving pagan men to work out his purposes. Isn't that awesome? He had to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem at exactly the right time, and it just so happened that the time they had to go, she was about ready to have that baby. Have any of you ladies ever been there when you're just about ready to have that baby? Like, any day now, kid, let's go. Hi, Haley. Everybody want to turn around and say hi to Haley? Listen, I'm not going to say this morning that she's great with child, but that might be offensive, but congratulations. Amen. Baby's coming. Isn't that exciting? Amen. And somewhere along the way, you know, I don't know, about 6 months in, most moms are like, okay, let's get this done, right? And there's still months to go. But she's there, and God works it out to where Jesus will be born in Bethlehem because the prophecy said so. He had to be born there, that so the scriptures could be fulfilled, and God worked all that out. So there he is, laid in a manger, either a food or water trough, not sure exactly, more than likely not like the pictures that we have of a wooden thing. It was probably like carved out of stone. Either way, Jesus is wrapped up and laid in a manger because there's no other place for him. And there he is, our Savior, the King of Glory, laying in a food trough or a water trough. And that's how God chose to send the Savior into the world. None of us would ever think that that would be the way it would be done, would we? I mean, this is not expected. And just another way to know that this is the truth and it's God's plan. If somebody was making this story up, this isn't the way they would make it up. God's ways are beyond our understanding. So there he was, laid in a manger. Now I want you to pick up at verse 8. And this is really where we're going to focus this morning. There were in the same country, so there around Bethlehem, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, there they were in the field at night, watching over their flocks. Now, listen, I know we just sang it, that it was a cold night. I don't know if it was cold that night or not. Maybe the song's right. Maybe it was. It makes for good lyrics for songs. You know the other song that says, the baby shivers, the child shivers in the cold? You guys know that one? And what do you bring a cold baby? Silver and gold, obviously, right? Not a blanket or a coat, just silver and gold. You guys have no idea what I'm talking about? These are great song lyrics. Great song lyrics. C- Okay, I don't know if it was cold that night, but it was night, and the shepherds are there. They're staying in the field with their flocks that night. And verse 9 says, "Lo, look, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were..." How would you be? Okay? If you were there, you would be afraid too. Or at the very least, I don't know how many shepherds were there that night, but there were multiple of them. But have you ever seen something like you're not really sure you saw it, and the first thing you do is look at the person with you to see if they're seeing it too? Anybody ever done that? I know I've told you the story 1,000 times, but when Melissa and I were driving back from Muskogee one night going up Bragg's Mountain, and Bigfoot walked across the road. Like, this Sasquatch literally walks across the road in the middle of the woods, and neither of us said anything for a while. Because I'm literally thinking in my mind, like, I'm losing my mind. I have no idea whether I really saw what I just thought I saw. And so we finally get down the road, and I finally cut my eyes at her. I'm like, you saw that too, right? So if you've ever been there, I'm just thinking that some of those shepherds are probably like, okay, I don't know, but whatever we ate tonight was bad because I'm seeing things, right? Like, you got to be wondering if you've lost your mind. So there they are, the light shining. They look around and everybody else sees it too. So they're not crazy. It's really happening. The glory of the Lord is shining around them and they are terrified, as you would be too. And verse 10 says, "The angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not." Fear not. The first thing I want to tell you today is the birth of Jesus removes our fears, or it ought to. It ought to. It ought to remove our fears. The angel says, you don't have to be afraid. Fear not. Why? Why shouldn't I be afraid, angel? For, because, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He's telling them that they don't have to be afraid because Christ is born. Listen, the glory of the Lord shines around. Angels appear out of nowhere. It's a terrifying thing. And the first thing, like every real angel says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because when God sends his messengers, he's sending them for a purpose. And this purpose was the greatest purpose ever. The greatest thing that had happened since the creation of the world just happened that night. Christ was born. And they had no idea. Babies were probably born around all the time, just like here. Any day, you could read about birth announcements all over, all around this area. But this baby was different. This baby was different. This baby was the promised Messiah. Christ, the Lord, had been born. There's a lot of things that we're afraid of, right? Are any of you, like, brave enough this morning to admit your fears? How many of you are afraid of heights? You just raise your hands. Okay. How many of you are afraid of snakes? Okay. Spiders? There's Ben. I'm waiting for Ben on that one. I don't know how afraid of spiders you are, but Ben's more afraid. And if you have a toy spider laying around and you want to find out if I'm telling the truth, you bring it and use it anytime.
That's not true. I'm married the only person more afraid of spiders.
Oh, really? He's the brave spider killer in his house. Okay. Well, one time we were working in the garage here at the church, and we had some old plastic spiders laying around from an old VBS, and one of the men in our church stuck it on Ben's shoulder, and he didn't notice it. And it stayed there for a minute, and then that same brother was like, "Hey, what's on your shoulder?" And I saw Ben move in ways and make sounds that a man should not move and sounds that should not be made. Hey, just to clarify, he didn't say any bad words or anything, just unnatural sounds. And let me tell you, that kid still got moves. Still got moves. So we're afraid of a lot of things. Real quick, how many of you are afraid of public speaking? Any of you? You know that they tell me that in America, people are more afraid of public speaking than they are of death. Like, some of you in the room right now, I would rather die than have to get up and talk in front of people. So there's all kinds of fears that people have. I'm gonna tell you the truth. I don't know what it is for you, what your greatest fear is, but I could narrow it down, at least in my top three. One of my greatest fears is failure. I'm afraid of failing. Anybody get that one? There's a lot of things we're afraid of. But I want to tell you this, the birth of Jesus, it removes our fears. When Jesus came, he came to save us from our sins. He came to give us eternal life. He came to deliver us from the wrath of God that was abiding on us. When all of that's true, all of the other fears that we have, they kind of fade away, don't they? Listen, when Jesus is your Savior, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to fear what man can do unto you because you belong to God now. And all of the fears, when you compare it to what Christ came to do for us, they just seem silly in comparison. And so we have a lot of things that we're afraid of. We're afraid of our financial troubles. We're afraid of sickness. We're afraid of all kinds of things. But we don't have to be afraid because Christ was born. He removes our fears. Number two, his birth redirects our focus. I love this word. He says in verse 10, "Fear not, for behold." I pointed it out to you a little earlier. You read it in your King James, it says lo sometimes, just the two letters, L-O, lo. It means it's short for look or behold. And here he says, behold. He wants you to change what you're looking at. The angels are in the air. Maybe they're on the ground. I don't know exactly, but they're there. The glory of the Lord is shining around them. This is a terrifying experience. It's an awesome experience. And I am sure that those guys are just wide-eyed looking at these angels. Like, they're probably terrified. They are amazed. They're so fixated on these angels. And he says, no, look, I don't want you to look at me. I want you to look at this. God has sent the Messiah. Christ is born. He redirects our focus, and our focus ought to be on Jesus. There's a lot of things that we focus on in this world today. We can focus on money. We can focus on family. We can focus on our hobbies. We can focus on our fears. We can focus on sickness and disease. We can focus on bad things that have happened. We can focus on all kinds of things. But God says, I want you to focus on Jesus. Focus on him. Why? He says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings. This is the word we get evangelized from. He's saying, I've got good news for you today. I'm going to give you, what is it? What is the good news? What do we call that? The gospel. I'm telling you, the gospel is here. The good news is here. Good news has come to life right now. And it's great joy. Great joy. It's the Greek word megas. Mega joy is what he's saying. I'm bringing you good news of great joy, mega joy today, which shall be to all people. Which shall be to all people. Good tidings of great joy. The good news of salvation, the birth of Jesus Messiah, is for all people. It wasn't just the promise to Abraham's descendants. It wasn't just the promise to David's descendants. This is good news for all people. Somebody happy about that today? Do you know it's good news for rednecks born in Braggs, Oklahoma? It's good news for hillbillies born in Arkansas. Amen. I'm trying to make sure I don't miss anybody today. It's good news for all of us, no matter where you are, where you're from, no matter what you've done. It's good news for all people. Christ has been born. All families of the earth will be blessed in Abraham's seed, and now he's come. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've failed to do, the birth of Jesus is good tidings of great joy to you. He came to provide salvation to all who believe. He came to die for the sins of all people, the whole earth. And he rose to give life everlasting to everyone who believes. So it's for every person. So his birth redirects our focus on what? On the good news. This world's full of bad news. I mean, if you read the news, watch the news, follow the news on social media, it's always bad news. Every once in a while, a news station will have a positive story. You know, they try to sprinkle in one positive story every once in a while. And I love those. Like, after feeding me all of this garbage and all of this negativity, it's nice to have something good. But the world is full of bad news because the world is full of sin. It's full of sorrow. It's full of darkness. It's full of death. That's the reality of the sin-cursed world. But friends, Jesus brings good news. And while we can't ignore the reality of the bad news, while we have to deal with those trials and tribulations and all that grief, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, you can't go over it, you have to get over it, you have to go through it, that's reality. But God doesn't want us to dwell on that. He wants us to focus on Him. Look, Christ is born. Behold, good news. So redirect your focus. And I know this time of year can be really hard. And I know it can be really sad. And I know it can be filled with grief if you let it. But I want you to hear me this morning. Please hear me. There are empty pews here today. I've been here for 10 years. My family came here 10 years ago. And there are places where people used to sit. Those places are empty today. Okay? You guys with me? And I miss them. But I promise you this. They want you to focus on Jesus. They want you to look to Him, to love Him, and to follow Him. That's what they want for you. Without question. Without question. And more importantly, it's what the Lord wants you to do. So redirect your focus. Number three, His birth redeems our failure. It redeems our failure. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He's talking to some shepherds, and I want you to know that the shepherds weren't really prominent people in society. If you were writing the story, you would have had the angels go to the palace. You would have had the angels go to Parliament. You would have had the angels go to somebody who was important in society. But God doesn't work that way. He went to the lowly shepherds, and they really were poor and lowly. They were treated as outcasts by their own people. The Pharisees looked down on them because they felt like they were unclean all the time, that they violated the Sabbath all the time. So their own people despised the shepherds. And certainly the Romans of that day despised them because they were Jews in the first place. But I want you to get this. God sends them to the lowly shepherds, the poor shepherds, the ones who everybody else looked down on. They get to hear the news first. That tells me something, guys. That no matter how low you think you are, God loves you and He has good news for you. No matter how low you think you are or how everybody else might look down on you, it doesn't matter. You say, "Well, preacher, you don't understand what I've done." I don't care. You don't understand what people think about me. It doesn't matter. God still loves you. He's got good news for you today. He redeems our failure because Christ was born for those shepherds and Christ was born for you. And He was born in the city of David, a Savior. Now, the fact that it was the city of David is important. We're not going to take the time to unpack all of that. Just know this. God had made a promise to David to establish an everlasting kingdom. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Solomon didn't fulfill it. None of the rest of David's kids fulfilled it. It was all down to Jesus when He came. He was the one who would be the fulfillment of that. He is the one who established David's throne and kingdom forever. He is the Savior from sin, the Savior from wrath, the Savior from death, the Savior from the power of Satan, the Savior from eternal separation from God. Not only does He save us from, He saves us for. He saves us for eternal life, for new life, for reconciliation with God, for reconciling others to God. He's the Savior through His sinless life and through His sacrificial death and resurrection. And He saves us by grace through faith. He was born a Savior. A Savior. The only Savior. The only way for anyone to be saved. And He is Christ the Lord. Christ the anointed one, the Messiah, the set apart, the consecrated one, the one prophesied in the Old Testament to bring salvation and establish God's eternal kingdom, the one true prophet, priest, and king, the Savior of the world, Christ the Lord. I want you to notice that. He is Christ, Messiah, the Lord. And what God does here, when Luke is inspired by the Holy Spirit to pen these words, he says He's not just Messiah, He's Messiah the Lord. That's important. What He's saying is, not only is He the anointed one, not only is He the promised one, not only is He the fulfillment of these prophecies, but He is actually God in the flesh. He is the Lord. He is the anointed Lord of all. Speaks of his sovereignty and his authority. So Christ, his birth, removes our fears, redirects our focus, and redeems our failure. Seems like most people in the world today think that they're going to earn their salvation by doing good works. And the reality is, friend, you and I could never be good enough to earn our way. We have failed. We've fallen short. We've sinned. But Jesus Christ paid that price. That's why he came, to redeem sinners from their failure. And then I want you to get this. His birth renews our faith, and he does it day by day. So we see Christ born in this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 12 says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Get this. His birth renews our faith. They said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, but they didn't say, let's go see if this is true or not. They said, let's go see the thing which God has shown us. Let's go see what God has made known to us. Let's go see the thing that has come to pass. They heard the word and they believed the word, but they still were moved to go see it. And I think it's awesome. Some people think you Christians have a blind faith. But I want you to know something. Our faith is not blind. It's not dumb. It is evidentiary. God has given knowledge of himself to every person through creation. Listen, you can look at the stars at night and know there is a creator. You can look at a newborn baby and you can know that there's a creator. You can look at all kinds of things in our environment, symbiotic relationships, animals that depend on each other to survive, that they had to be created and designed that way. There's no way. It's impossible for them to evolve in that way. They had to be created and designed that way. And you can see God in creation. But more importantly than that, friend, you can see him in his word. He has revealed himself to us through his word, through reliable historical evidence and eyewitness accounts. You can trust your Bible. And I'm just telling you, when they got the word, they believed it, but then they got to go see it. And I love that. And you may think that that's a bad thing. Well, I mean, checking to see if it's true or not. No, you believe it by faith, but then you get to see the evidence of it. You get to see the evidence of it in the word of God, in archaeology, in fulfilled prophecy, just in nature itself. We can see the handiwork of God everywhere we look. And it's awesome. So it renews our faith. It encourages our faith. So get the word of God, hear the word of God, believe the word of God, and then go see it played out as God said. Verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. In other words, what the angel told them, what God revealed to them, they found to be true. They went and saw exactly what he said. And then it says, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So not only does it renew our faith that we get to see the evidence, we get to see what God has shown us, but two, we get to tell others what God has shown us. Isn't that good? They said, let's go see what God's made known to us. And then they made known what they had seen. Okay, there's a pattern here for us to follow. God has, through his word, made known some things to you about Jesus. And as you see that truth, then you go and make known abroad what God has shown you. And that's exactly why we're trying to get you guys to give out gospel tracts and do those things all the time. Why? Because God's shown us the truth that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And you have believed it and you have been saved by it. And your life transformed is the evidence of it. And so now you go make known what God has shown you. That renews our faith. to see what he's told us, to see it, to know it, to believe it, and then to go make it known. I can't pass up verse 19. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Man, Mary was so thoughtful. We saw it before when the angel, when Gabriel came and gave her the announcement that she was going to have a baby. She kept those things in her heart. She was mindful of those things. And now again, she's pondering these things. It is good for us to ponder what God reveals to us. It is good for us to meditate on it. It is good for us to be mindful of it. It's good for us to think. Okay, somebody say amen to that. It's good to think. But it's good to think on things that are pure and lovely and good, trustworthy, praiseworthy. It's good to think on the things that God has shown us. By the way, that would help a lot of you out. Some of you guys have trouble just sleeping at night, and it would be good for you to meditate on good things. It's so easy to meditate on bad things. Force yourself by the power of the Spirit. Ask God to help you to meditate on good things. Verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20, the shepherds returned. They went back to work. They had to go back to watching the sheep. Right? Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. It was told unto them. How many of you guys got some time off work for the holiday? Anybody? Could you just raise your hand? Could you look happy about it? Praise the Lord, right? Time off. Time off work, time off school. How many of you kids got some time off school? And all the parents said, oh me, right? No, it's a great time to be together with family. It's a great time to take it, to step away from work. Pray for those people who don't get any time off work, right? You're going to be glad that the linemen are working and the police officers and sheriffs are working. You're going to be glad that the EMTs are working and the people at the hospitals are working. You're going to be thankful for some people who have to work on the holiday. Hopefully they'll get a day off another day. But listen, they stepped away from the sheep for a little while to go and rejoice in the Savior and to celebrate and to tell others. Then they returned back to their work, glorifying and praising God. See, they had to go back, but they were changed. They had to go back, but they were different. They had to go back, but their hearts were different, and their attitudes were different, and their purpose was different. So yeah, you're going to get a little time off work, and hopefully you'll get to enjoy some time around celebrating the birth of our Savior. And you'll understand that while we might enjoy a lot of things like giving and receiving gifts, and we might enjoy a lot of the traditions that we have here in America around Christmas, that we will keep it about Jesus. And that we, when we go back, will go back rejoicing and praising God for what he has shown us in our Savior's birth. And it will change the way we interact with other people when we go back. Right? I just imagine those sheep are like, man, there's something different about these guys. Right? Hey, listen, animals could talk in the Bible. I've read it before. I'm just saying that when they went back, they were different. It didn't mean that they didn't go back. And listen, you got to go back. You got to go back. Sooner or later, you got to go back. But after you've taken some time to celebrate Jesus' birth, you ought to go back different. With a different perspective, with a different praise, and with a different purpose to go and tell others the good news, just like the shepherds did. His birth changes everything. It changed the world. It changed our calendar. It changed everything. Even people who want to deny it, it changed everything in the world. But listen to me, it must change you personally. It's changed me, but it has to be your decision for it to change you. You have to believe what God has shown you through his word. Let it change your heart. Let's stand together. We're going to close our service this morning with a song. And as we get ready to sing that song, will you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity together this morning. Thank you for this time of year to celebrate the birth of our Savior. We thank you that Christ is born. Lord, let it change us, change our hearts, change our perspective. Let it take away our fears. Let it renew our faith. Let it just make us who you want us to be. I pray if anyone hearing this message today has never been born again, that today they would fully and completely trust in Christ alone as their Savior. And Lord, we are sinners. We have failed you. But we know that through faith we can have eternal life. And I pray that you would change our eternity and our day-to-day life. And that we can leave here today rejoicing and praising you for all the things you've shown us. Please bless, let your will be done in every heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.